Hey, you want that to go?
That's right. Takeouts to go. We've got Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen here in the studio. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
And Louise Story from our partner, the New York Times finance writer. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
So we begin with a big story we've been talking about all morning. President Obama set to reverse a ban on offshore oil drilling. You'd think that oil would be trading all over the map this morning, but no, it's barely moving. In fact, we don't talk about the price of oil very much at all these days, and that's our first takeout with Louise Story. Oil seems to be stuck right around $80 a barrel, and it's been that way for quite a long time. There was a little bit of a move, you know, 3 or 4 months ago. What's going on with the oil market?
Well, it's gotten kind of boring, John, because the last 6 months, you're right, it's been right around $80 a barrel. And it's really amazing if you think about where we were just 2 years ago. So 2 summers ago, if you remember, we were all out the gas pump paying $4 a gallon, $4.50 a gallon in some states. And that's when it was trading at $147 a barrel. I remember oil traders at the time telling me, it's going to 200, it's going to 200. People really thought it was just going to go up. Right.
Yeah. The Russians predicted $200
a barrel. Right, they thought it was going up. Yeah. But then it totally crashed, went down to $34 a barrel, and no one expected that. And now it's just stabilized right around 80, which people say is a good level for it.
Well, what has changed here? I mean, oil really hasn't changed. Have oil consumers changed, or is it the industrial economy that's changed?
Well, it's always very difficult to know
sure.
What drives these prices.
Right.
But one of the effects of stabilizing prices is that it helps with oil production and oil exploration. You know, people who look for oil say that the worst thing for oil exploration is volatile prices because they don't know what to expect. And so this stable pricing is probably good for companies who might consider drilling where in these areas that Obama is allowing it. The question is, you know, how it will affect consumers' behavior because, you know, there was this whole push for us all to get hybrid cars. You know, last year we had the cash for clunkers, get a more energy efficient car. And when you're not paying as much at the gas pump, you know, some people wonder if you'll switch to a hybrid or not.
Right. Yeah, with oil at these prices, does it justify the ban that the president announced this morning, reversing this ban? Is suddenly offshore oil less profitable at these prices? Does it have to be up towards $200 a barrel? I mean, you're not an oil trader, but
no, this is still a profitable level. You know, we have a story in the New York Times where we have a number of people who do oil exploration talking about how this is a level where they can make a comfortable profit. This is a level that feels sustainable to them. And, you know, when you go in and look for oil and do this kind of exploration, you want prices to feel like they're going to stay there a while. And when they were so high, no one really knew if that would stick for good.
All right. Stability in the oil market, good for the global economy, according to Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks, Louise.
You know, sometimes it can be a little risky to trade in oil or other kind of things. But one thing that's probably not risky is to bet on UConn in the women's final four.
No, that is not
for the
risky.
NCAA tournament. Last night, UConn took on Florida State University. They won 90-50.
And you know the sun came up this morning, too.
Yeah, exactly. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, it's not even a surprise at this point, right? I mean, this is their 76th win in a row.
So this is the deal. UConn and the NCAA, women's NCAA tournament is like David versus Goliath. But really, UConn is both David and Goliath. And everyone else is literally just everyone else. UConn last night was only up by 14 at the half. That seems like a close game at the half. But then they went on to blow them out. Maya Moore, who's the star guard for UConn, she didn't have a great game. She was in foul trouble most of the game. So then Tina Charles took over, and she had a double-double almost by halftime. UConn knows how to win. And this is the scary thing about them. There's teams that lose a lot, and then they become numb to losing. And there's teams that win a lot, and they become numb to winning. But the UConn women's team, they win. They play the game the way it's supposed to be played. Every single play, they're excited. Every single basket made, they get amped up. They're like a bunch of Derek Jeters out there.
It doesn't bode well for the other teams in the Final Four, which we now know who is in the Final Four.
Correct.
The NCAA Women's Tournament. That is UConn, of course. Stanford will play Oklahoma because Oklahoma beat Kentucky, and UConn is going up against Baylor. Okay, so without asking you if UConn can be beat, because I assume the answer is no, if they were going to beat them, how would they do it?
That I couldn't answer. I don't think any coach in the country could answer.
I guess UConn wouldn't show up.
Yeah, exactly. I think that UConn wouldn't
kidnap the bus.
They could cheat.
So the Oklahoma and Stanford game, everyone, it seems like it's just going to be Stanford. I actually think that Oklahoma's playing some great ball. Nyasha Stevenson scored 31 points last night. They're really revved up. They're really excited. I think that there could be an upset on the other side of the bracket. Now, in terms of Baylor versus UConn, that's the game that the country wants to see. Baylor is the upstart. Baylor is the true underdog. If they can make this game close by under 20 points, then that would be like a victory against UConn.
You know, Ibrahim, you talk about this numb to winning thing going away. You know, it reminds me of the old UCLA streak of the men's game.
Yeah,
before.
Absolutely.
I mean, at a certain point, you stop getting bored with the winning and you get excited for the winning. Is it possible that this UConn team could actually set the stage in the way that UCLA did for a revamped, really exciting WNBA in the pro women's game?
I think it's definitely a great correlation, the UConn team and the UCLA team of the past. This UConn women's team is creating the brand of women's college basketball, and I think that brand is going to extend into the NBA. But the other thing is, I think that what we're going to see is a whole new generation of young stars that try to become like this UConn team, that they'll start to pattern themselves after these players.
All right, so that's coming up in the Final Four, the women's tournament. But I want to ask you guys both the same question we're asking our listeners today. We're talking about productivity and flexibility. You guys both probably work a fair amount of hours from home. So we're asking our listeners, let me go to you first, Louise. If you could totally set your own hours, do you think you'd be more productive?
I'm always more productive when I work from home because I don't have my colleagues coming around to gossip.
But you got your dogs.
Yeah.
You what about you, Ibrahim?
I think it's great to set your own hours, but I love the camaraderie on the Converse. Yeah. I love the camaraderie of the office environment and the bounce ideas off of. So I think if we had some set hours that we were in the office, I think it would be perfect.
You procrastinate when you're home alone by yourself.
I think so.
I sleep in when I'm working from home. Let us know your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post it at our website, thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.